Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Thursday, January 18th, 2018. I'm your host, Scott Burton. It's good to have you with us. On today's show, Claire Imamura and Leah Geibel will highlight upcoming events at the State Museum. We'll get details about Saturday's Women's March with guest Trish Custard. We'll learn about next month's Innovation Summit. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up, outlining this weekend's arts and entertainment opportunities. Those interviews, National Native News, Bird Note, Music and More, right here live and local on a Juno afternoon. Currently 31 degrees and mostly cloudy and some clear skies here in the capital city.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. U.S. senators on the Indian Affairs Committee examined agribusiness in Indian country during a hearing Wednesday on Capitol Hill. Tribal leaders and food industry experts say agribusiness can boost tribal economies and help provide food to communities. Tribes are looking at government food programs and policies for opportunities and funding sources, including in the Farm Bill. Leaders are also seeking help from lawmakers to reduce regulatory burdens on tribes. Some tribes and Native organizations want to take on greater authority over nutrition programs. Legislation was introduced last Congress to broaden tribal self-governance at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Janie Hipp with the Indigenous Food and Agriculture Initiative says food security and improved public health could be achieved by tribes administering their own feeding programs.
If you could actually marry the food production that's happening on Indian country, on tribal lands across the country, and literally regionalize the food purchasing for those feeding programs. And this would be new. It's not being done this way now, and it's a fairly embedded process of a national purchasing infrastructure. But if you were to actually deconstruct that and regionalize it, then you could actually make the program more cost-effective, but it would also be able to link up with the producers themselves, with the tribes that are involved in food, and create a stable market that would then further stimulate more food production.
Hipp says it would also lead to providing fresh, more palatable food to community members. New Mexico Senator Tom Udall says he intends to introduce legislation this session to allow tribes and tribal organizations to administer their own nutrition programs. Meanwhile, in the House Wednesday, U.S. lawmakers in a subcommittee heard from tribal and business leaders on legislation to provide business and economic development assistance to tribes. The Jobs for Tribes Act would increase access to capital for tribes and businesses. It would require the Department of the Interior to coordinate its business incubator activities with other federal agencies to promote Native business development, and directs the Secretary of State to provide assistance to countries in the Western Hemisphere to promote entrepreneurship among indigenous people. Derek Watchman, the board chairman for the National Center for American Indian Enterprise Development, says the organization supports the bill.
By becoming law, this bill would activate the Office of Native American Business Development within the Department of Commerce at the secretary level. It would also strengthen the support for the Indian Loan Guarantee Program and Native CDFIs, which is very, very important to us. It will also increase the bi-Indian procurement process. We've been working on this for many, many years, and I'll speak to that a little bit later. It will also establish, as has been said, the Native American business incubators and develop strategies to enhance indigenous trade.
Tribal and business leaders talked about challenges including access to capital, land into trust issues, lack of resources, and federal bureaucracy. Lawmakers examined how the bill could tackle some of those issues. Other Native organizations are in support of the legislation, including the Native American Finance Officers Association and the National Congress of American Indians. Florida voters may soon be the deciding factor in the future of gaming in the state under a proposed constitutional amendment, the Associated Press reports. State officials Wednesday certified the amendment dealing with casinos will go before voters in November. Supporters had to get nearly 800,000 signatures for it to qualify on the ballot. Under the amendment, only voters could approve gaming. The Seminole Tribe, which already operates a number of casinos in the state, reportedly helped push the amendment. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
The National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by City University of New York's Graduate School of Journalism's MA in Social Journalism, rethinking journalism as a community service. Application deadline is January 5th at journalism.cuny.edu. Support from AmeriCorps Vista, whose members fight against poverty while earning money for college and gaining skills, with rewarding service opportunities around the country and info at AmeriCorps.gov/Vista.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Thursday, January 18th, 2018. Scott Burton, your host today. In the studio now is Claire Imamura, an outreach librarian, and Leah Geibel, an archivist over at the Andrew P. Kacheverov State Library Archives and Museum. Welcome to the show, you two.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Nice to have you here. So lots of stuff going on over there. Claire, why don't you let us know about it?
Sure. Yeah, we always have a lot going on. We love the wintertime because it really gives us a chance to have more local programming. And the next thing we have is Juneau Cabaret Concert on January 27th. They're doing the music of George and Ira Gershwin. And they'll also have another concert in February. That's the music of Billy Strayhorn. That's February 17th. Those are both at 2 p.m. They are free, or donations are accepted, and those support programs at the APK and also the tuning of our piano, so we really appreciate that.
And I've heard the acoustics in that hall are wonderful.
We really like it. Yeah, people sound good.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, what else is going on?
In February, we're opening a new exhibit. It's a solo artist exhibit, and it's a local artist, Deacon Charles Rohrbacher. His exhibit is Windows into Heaven, Contemporary Icons. That's opening February 1st, Friday, so we'll be open late, 4:30 to 7, free admission to the museum. And then after First Friday ends at 7, we're going to have Deacon Charles do a lecture about his work, and that will be in our lecture hall at 7 p.m. And those events are sponsored by the Friends of the State Library Archives and Museum. And his exhibit is up, I think, through April? Yep, April 21st. So okay. It'll be up for a few months, but it's opening in February.
Where's the best place for people to check in with what's going on at the museum, archives, and library?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to do that, but the best place to start is our division website, which is LAM, that's Library Archives Museum, .alaska.gov, lam.alaska.gov. And from there, you can find library events and museum events and our calendar, and you can subscribe to our newsletter, so that's the best place.
Okay, sounds good. Leah, what's going on in the archives?
All right, over at the archives, we have digitized some more records of ours, and they are now up on Alaska's Digital Archives, and they are relating to Benny Benson, who is the seventh grader who designed our state flag. So we have some governor's papers up from Governor George Parks, some of his files on the creation of Alaska's state flag, a couple photos of Benny Benson and the state flag, and an excerpt from session laws concerning the creation of the Alaska state flag.
Okay, new additions over there. What might surprise our listeners as to resources that they can find there at the archives? What do you like about that resource?
So actually, I think something that people don't know is that we have almost every type of resource available, whether you're looking for oral histories or tapes of meeting minutes. We have scrapbooks, photos, documents, and in conjunction, the archives with the historical collections, they have a lot of family-related items, and we're more of the state agency-related, but between the two of us, you can find a really complete history on a lot of things that have gone on in Alaska.
And if somebody wants to access those resources, what's the best way to do it?
We're open to the public from Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. They can also email us through our website. They can also just email us directly through their staff directory. So call us. We're available.
Okay, and in the building, where are the archives located?
Oh, we're actually up on the second floor. So if you go through the entrance to the State Library, make a right, and that's where the Research Center is.
Okay, sounds good. And the digital archives, if somebody wants to access those online?
Oh, yeah. It's if you just Google Alaska's Digital Archives, and that is holds collections that have been digitized, not just from us, but also the library, historical collections, UAF, UAA. It's a big consortium of information and resources.
Yeah, I recently worked on a documentary, and that was such a wonderful resource. We found so many great pictures and images from that resource, so thank you for providing that. Will you remind us again, Claire, the best website to go for information for all of this?
Sure. That's lam.alaska.gov. It's lam.alaska.gov.
All right, a lot going on over at the Andrew P. Kachaverov State Library Archives and Museum. Anything else either of you would like to add?
Oh, can I just put in a little plug for Nobu Koch's art activity? It's for youth. It's February 3rd, ages 6 to 9 from 10 to noon, and ages 9 to 12 from 1 to 3. They're doing dog portraits. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're trying to get some live dog models in, but we'll see if that works out.
Remind us, our listeners, who Nobu is.
Nobu is a local artist and graphic designer, and she works for the Sealaska Heritage Institute on the Baby Raven Reads program.
Okay, so that's not this Saturday, but next Saturday, right?
It's the first Saturday in February, February 2nd.
Okay.
No, February 3rd.
And will we see you again before then, or maybe not? So this sounds like a really fun event for kids.
I think it will be. I'm not sure if we'll be back or not.
Okay, but kids getting to draw dogs with
yes.
a local famous artist.
Yes.
Sounds like fun. All right, thanks again for coming on the show, you two.
All right, thanks
Thank
for having
you.
Us.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. You're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, they said you was high.
Support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services in the Jordan Creek Center. Northern Audiology offers diagnostic medical hearing expertise and digital technology hearing instruments. 789-6780.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, January 18th, about 15 minutes past the top of the hour. In the studio now is Trish Custard, organizer, worker bee for the Women's March on Saturday. Welcome to the show, Trish.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
It is nice to have you here. Is this the second annual?
This is. This is Women's March 2.0. Everybody remembers last year. We were up there. We made some history, and we're going to do it again.
Okay. You're You're no stranger to marching, are you?
I'm not. I am a child of the 60s and 70s, so I've done quite a few marches in my life. I was trying to think what my first one was. Probably in college. I think we marched on Rocky Flats in Colorado. It was a nuclear situation. But since then, I have become involved here in Juneau with the different marches. I was involved with the rally for Charlottesville that we had over the summer, and then the Science March that was held in, I believe, April of last year, and now the Women's March.
And so this is going to be on Saturday.
It's on Saturday, starting at 10 o'clock at the Capitol steps. There'll be a rally. We've got a great lineup of speakers. We're going to start about 9:45. DJ Manu is going to be there playing some positively powerful songs. Positively powerful is our theme for this year. We want to send people off with some good action items that they can do to stay engaged. Rally begins at 10 o'clock. We have the speakers including Beth Kertula, the Lieutenant Governor, Kate Troll, Carrie Willoughby, Libby Bacalar, and Sky Kayanani, Marie Van Valen. Please excuse me, Sky, if I messed up your name. And Nancy Keene will be doing the Women's Warrior Dress as part of our celebration with the Native Alaskans. And at 11 o'clock, we'll march down to Marine Park. And hopefully afterwards, we have some coffee shops that are lined up where the speakers will be available to carry on the conversation with marchers and give them more ideas on what to do and how to do it.
Why is marching important to you?
It's important to me because so often we feel so isolated when we're advocating for or against something. We can send out emails, we can call up, we can send out letters, but when we combine together as a force, we're so much stronger that way. And it's, you know, we're all suffering a little bit from resistance fatigue, those of us who have been active. So it's great to get together with other like-minded people. Even though we might have different ideas, we're still wanting to go ahead and do things for our country. And it's great to just have the body mass out there, and our voices are stronger when we're together.
How does that feel for one of our listeners maybe who's never been a part of a march? How does it feel to be? I think there was 1,000 people there last year.
Oh, 1,000 people.
How would you describe that feeling?
It was, last year was cathartic. It was really good. We were feeling, again, I think a little bit isolated. You think that maybe you're the only person who feels this way, and, you know, what's going to happen? And this year, with the resistance fatigue that we're all feeling, again, it's great to just get that energy from the other people around you. It's wonderful to have, just to see everybody. This is an all-inclusive event. We call it the Women's March, but we want men. We want children. We want everybody to come on out and just be supportive of each other. And with that support, we're able to go forward, march forward, and carry on with being active participants in our government, in our country.
Okay. I noticed there, you mentioned it, and I saw in the description on Facebook that there will be an emphasis, too, on calls to action.
Correct.
Yeah. What inspired that?
Well, last year we were feeling, as we were doing the planning for Women's March 2.0, last year it was very much just kind of a reactive thing. We were a little bit stunned, regardless of who we voted for. I think we were all a little stunned with the outcome of the election, and we just needed to come together and just be. This year we need to have calls to action, things that people can actively do, that all of us can do in our homes or with each other, to keep participating in our democracy.
And your call to action might be to get people out on Saturday.
To get people out on Saturday. I need people there. We need the bodies. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a positive experience. It's not going to be negative at all. And everybody, regardless of where you stand on the political spectrum, is invited to come and join with us.
So walk us through this, if you will. Where should people be at 9:45?
At 9:45, they should be walking up towards the State Capitol building. At 10 o'clock, the rally will begin. By about 11 o'clock, we'll start marching down to Marine Park. Very short march, downhill all the way. And from there, we can break up and go to coffee shops. We'll have more information about that to meet with the speakers, the guest speakers, and continue the conversation.
Okay, and it looks like the forecast is going to be a little bit warmer than last year.
Yes, hopefully. And I did want to add that at the Luna Fest tomorrow, the Women's Film Festival, there will be a sign making from 6 to 6:30. The Juneau Pro-Choice Coalition very graciously has given us some supplies and a venue if people want to come out before the LunaFest and make their sign to carry at the march. We'll have supplies there for them to do that.
Okay, Trish, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners?
Not at all. I just hope everybody feels encouraged to come out and attend, and we welcome everyone.
Walking towards the Capitol at 9:45 a.m. Saturday morning.
Correct.
Thank you, Trish.
Thanks, Scott.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fishing the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, and a bold world for me. Shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. The freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Is Bird Note. When it comes time to nest, birds require a site that protects them both from weather and from predators. Nests are perched high in trees, secreted deep in dense branches, or concealed in cavities. Some birds take a further step, nesting where they are defended by stinging insects. The violaceous trogon of the New World tropics often excavates its dwelling within a large, active wasp's nest. The violaceous trogon is a striking bird, 10 inches tall with a deep blue head and breast and bright yellow belly. It's adept at catching insects, and it begins its work at the wasp's nest by eating some of the wasps. A pair of trogons then dig the cavity within the massive nest, large enough to accommodate themselves and their eggs. While they may continue to snack on resident wasps throughout nesting, the trogons never eliminate all the wasps, and they create a nest that few predators would dare disturb. Some birds nest in large ant or termite colonies, too. Safety is where you find it. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Enjoy a 20-minute Gordon Hempton nature soundscape when you sign up for our weekly email. More at birdnote.org.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon.
Tiny piece of colored glass, my love was born. And reds and golds and yellows were the colors in the dawn. Night brought on its purple cloak of velvet to the sky, and the gulls were wheeling, spinning on Jersey Thursday. Tiny piece of colored glass, my love was born. And reds and golds and yellows were the colors in the dawn. Night brought on its purple cloak of velvet to the sky, and the gulls were wheeling, spinning on Jersey Thursday.
Join us for the KTOO and Taku Fisheries Seafood Festival on Saturday, February 3rd at Centennial Hall. A culinary celebration of all we love in Juneau. Reason, Saffron, Raven Cafe, Juana Thai Cafe, TK Maguire's, The Hangar, Vista L'Adore, and McGivney's will be showing off their seafood creations. To satisfy your sweet tooth, Copa Cafe, Glacial Grinds, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company will serve desserts. The celebration of good food and live music will be kicked off with a beer tasting by Alaskan Brewing Company with limited seats. Tickets at KTOO.org.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, January 18th, 2018. Right at the bottom of the hour on the show now is Dana Herndon. She is a communications specialist with the JEDC. Welcome to the show, Dana. Yeah, it's nice to have you here. So we're going to be talking about the Innovation Summit, which is February 21st and 22nd.
Yep, it's a day and a half, so February 21st and 22nd. And it's our seventh year doing it, and we love doing it. We gather people from all over the state with in a lot of different professions, and it's a great networking experience. It's a great professional development experience. You don't even have to leave the state. And so, yeah, we're really excited about it this year.
And I think the title speaks for itself, Innovation Summit. But what are you after with this?
So this year our theme is diversity and how it drives innovation, so diversity of skill set, of background, of experience, and how putting people together from different backgrounds just causes innovation or sparks innovation.
Okay, and so for example, this year I was looking at your schedule on Wednesday is when it starts, right, the 21st. It starts at 1 in the afternoon?
Yep.
And goes till 8 that night. Explain what it might look like that day.
So we start with a welcome ceremony. We have the mayor there, hopefully the governor, and Richard Peterson from Central Council. And then we'll go right into the keynote. So Franz Johansson is our keynote speaker. He's from the Medici Group. And he's the one that really drives the whole, like, innovation drives, or diversity drives innovation. So he'll be talking about that. And then we'll go into innovation shorts, which are like 10-minute presentations that are given by summit attendees to summit attendees. So it's a really fun, dynamic aspect of the summit. Like, people will come and give presentations on an idea they're working on or a project and whatnot. So it's really fun to see, like, what people submit. This year we have topics of all kinds, ones that are really into tech and data science, and ones that are, like, really into, like, I don't know, like massage and transcendental meditation.
I was going to ask you, is it all about economics or science? It sounds like it's all over the place.
It's all over the place, yeah.
Okay, so that's day one. And then day two looks like an all day from 8 to 4 kind of
a
thing.
Yeah, so going back to day one, we do have a dinner portion, and then we have a pitch contest too. So we have Alaskan entrepreneurs pitching their businesses in front of the Innovation Summit attendees. And we crowd raise the money right then and there. So, yeah, they win everything, and yeah, it's really fun.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's really fun. And then the next day is a full day of activities too. The next day we have Franz Johansson will give a workshop on the diversity drives innovation, and he gives workshops to many different size crowds. He'll give the workshop to the entire crowd of like 250 people. And then we have innovation shorts again. And then we have breakout groups that really dive deep into aspects of our economy. So also like the visitor products group and the ocean products group and opportunities there and maybe challenges too. And we really dive deep into what the industry looks like now and what can be done.
Okay. Is there a cost for this?
Yes. It's right now we do the early bird. It's $275 for early bird. And then after January 31st, it'll be $350. But it includes meals and activities and pretty much everything. We really take care of you guys there, and it's a great learning experience.
Do you see professionals getting the day off work to come to this, and do businesses promote that? Have you seen?
I haven't seen that. That would be awesome. When we ask people for testimonials and stuff, it's like they find it really valuable, and it truly is an experience that they learned a lot from, but also made amazing connections or investors or co-founders and whatnot. So it's something that businesses should give their employees a day off, I would say.
And again, this is the Juneau Economic Development Council sponsors this, and you said it's in your seventh year?
Our seventh year, and we also have a lot of other amazing sponsors like Alaska Airlines, Sea Alaska, GCI, North Rim Bank, and more.
Okay. So, when do the early bird tickets, when do you have to get those by?
By January 31st. That's the last day to get your early bird tickets. And I would just say get it now because otherwise we're going to hike the price up.
And again, the dates are February 21st and 22nd?
Yep, and you can get your tickets at jedc.org/innovation.
All right, Dana Herndon, she's a communications specialist with the Juneau Economic Development Council. Dana, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, but we'll see you there.
All right, thanks, Dana.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Thursday, January 18th. It's about 23 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services, providing services for identification, evaluation, and rehabilitation for individuals with hearing difficulties. Located in the Jordan Creek Center. Information at 789-6780.
Well, they said use hard glass. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, they said do us high class. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, you ain't never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend.
And with that introduction from Elvis in the studio now, Nancy DeCherney here for our weekly update on arts in the capital city with Arts Up. Nancy, what's going on this weekend?
Well, let's see what we got going on this weekend. On Friday, there's a Racial Equity and Liberation Learning Series at the Northern Lights Church. That is from 12 to 1:30. It looks like they're going to be doing this on Fridays for 6 weeks. There'll be lunch provided, and you can also participate by distance. Get more information by going to our website or KTOO's website, jahc.org or ktoo.org, if you're interested in that. Friday, 6 p.m., LunaFest. Always fun. It's over at Centennial Hall. Short films by, for, and about women. 6 p.m., pre-screening. Ticket information, go to lunafest.org. This is sponsored by Pro-Choice.
And I heard that there's also going to be some kind of poster making workshop there that you can make posters for the Women's March the next day.
That would be a good idea because there is a Women's March the next day.
Perfect segue.
Also on Friday night at 6:30 to 9, there's an open mic and poetry slam out at UAS. Performers of all ages and abilities are encouraged to join. Sing-ups, it says here, but I think they mean sign-ups. But you could sing. It is poetry. Begin at 6:30. The first performer will be at 7. You can get more information at Juno Poetry Slam or send them an email at junopoetryslam@gmail.com. There is a JDHS Crimson Bears Hockey versus North Pole at the Treadwell Ice Arena. This is the final home series of the season, so you might get over there if you want to watch some hockey. these games have huge conference playoff implications, so don't miss this. Okay. Saturday morning, Cook Illustrations with Megan Chalfont at the Canvas. This will be on Saturdays from this Saturday till, I think, February 1st, maybe, or the 27th. And as you mentioned, there is the Women's March from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Start at the Capitol Building. There'll be speakers, music, and inspiration. The march will then go on down to Marine Park, and it should be basically pretty good crispy weather, don't you think?
Yep, that's what the forecast calls for.
All right, the theme is positively powerful, and it's an inclusive event. Everyone's welcomed and encouraged to come, and I remember last year's was a lot of fun. So, and it was kind of another reason to get your pink hats out. 3 to 4:30, Youth Poetry Workshop with Christy Nami Erickson at the Juno Public Library. Excuse me. This is free for ages 8 to 17. This is offered to help young people craft poems for the Poetry Omnibus Contest. C.N. Murphy is running that again this year. It is time for you to write your poems. And these are the poems that get put on the city bus. So it's always a fun thing to be on the bus and see your poem there.
Do you happen to remember the deadline? Is it the end of the month?
I think it's the end of the month. All yeah. Right. You can get that information on our website. jhc.org. Go there. From 6 to 9 p.m., the Tongass Democrats annual fundraising auction is at Rockwell. There's an outcry auction that begins at 7. $10 at entrance administration, complimentary appetizers, and a no-horse bar. All kinds of information about that, too. 6:30 to 10 p.m., Dinner of the Dark Arts at SALT. Celebrate Alaska Beer Week with a touch of darkness. SALT and Alaska Brewing is bringing you a decadent 5-course dinner featuring extremely limited barrel-aged and vintage beers. Tickets are $100, and they're available at Alaska Brewing Depot and the Tasting Room. So If you like the dark stuff, there you go. 6:45 to 8:45, Friends of the Shrine Dinner. This is anybody who's visited the shrine and wants to help keep that beautiful space up and running. It's a free dinner. It says free dinner. Of pork loin, mashed potatoes, broccoli, salad, Hawaiian rolls. You know, I'm liking the fact that it's all dinners this week, and we're getting the menus. Let's just skip the arts and go to menus, okay? As you know, cooking is an art. So for more information, you can get the link on our website, too, or there's a cell phone number to call. So let's see. On Sunday, something new is starting up at the Jack every Sunday evening. Fusion dance lessons with a couple of people. They'll be, I think it's going to be free or donation only type things, and I think it's at 5. Don't quote me. Go to my website and see when it is.
Fusion dancing Sundays at 5 at the Jack.
Yeah, it'll be every Sunday for several weeks now. And on Monday you can do your pickleball over at Centennial Hall, and there's a modern dance class out at JDT. And on Tuesday there's also ballet and cardio hip-hop. Wednesday, it's the Homeless Connect at the Jack. Are you homeless or at risk of becoming homeless? Find help. Get all sorts of that. It's a wonderful event, actually. All sorts of services and help for people. It's just a really pleasant time. From 9 to 3 over at the Jack, there's some stability and mobility classes at JDT for seniors or anybody who's having trouble. Alaska Design Forum brings Wolfgang Buttress Automata lecture at the Alaska State Museum. It's multi-sensory artwork that draw inspiration from our evolving relationship with the natural world. This is from 6 to 7, 10 p.m. It's brought to us by the Design Forum. There is a charge for it, but this is a fascinating exhibit, and I recommend you come. You can go to Color Wheel Arts at 6 p.m. and learn how to make cable-knitted headbands, and William Inc., I think, has a preview opening on Wednesday, which means that next week is the opening night.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. So a lot of things, fun things to do. You know, don't forget, on Fridays you can go have lunch at the State Office Building and hear the organ played.
That too.
Yeah, that too.
All right. Remind us again, Nancy's attorney, where we can find all these things.
Didn't say
things.
It enough, huh?
Where can we find? That's just so much great stuff. But, for our visual listeners.
Yes, and because it's like a lot of stuff. JAHC.org or KTOO.org. We share our calendar, and there's a lot of interesting things going on. And let me know if you'd like to have it emailed to you, because I do put it together on a paper form and email it out most of the times when I remember.
Awesome.
Okay.
And I bet it would help if they're a member, right?
Yes, it would.
They'd get it a little faster.
Maybe.
Thanks, all right. Nancy.
Thanks.
Support for KTOO comes from listeners like you and from Shoefly, proudly serving as a style playground for Juno women of all ages with a collection of shoes, boots, and accessories curated for Southeast Alaska.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon today. Tomorrow I'll be your host again, and historians Paulette Sampson and Wayne Jensen are going to preview their Friday fireside lecture about the Treadwell, Douglas Island's most famous gold mine. Andrea Budbill will highlight LIFT, L-I-F-T, Planned Parenthood's new family program. We'll profile the Alaska Youth Choir. And Tom Cosgrove will preview Sunday's Story Factory Workshop. Take a look at the weather here. Currently 31 degrees in the capital city, mostly cloudy skies. And the forecast for tonight calls for partly cloudy skies, lows in the mid-20s with light winds. And in Juneau, in downtown here, it'll be lows around 30. Friday calls for mostly cloudy skies with highs in the mid-30s and light winds. And going into the weekend on Saturday, mostly cloudy skies, highs around 30, east winds to 50 miles per hour. Light winds in the Mendenhall Valley. Thanks for tuning in to a Juneau Afternoon.